Kids tuned to yesterday, showcasing programs from radio's golden years. Welcome, I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Drama presented in this hour. Later on, Jessica Tandy and Hume Cronin star in The Marriage. But right now, an adaptation of the 1948 picture All My Sons on the Screen Directors Playhouse, featuring Edward G. Robinson reprising his role as Joe Keller, from December 2nd, 1949, on NBC.
From Hollywood, the Screen Directors Playhouse. Screen Directors Playhouse, star Edward G. Robinson, production All My Sons, director Irving Reed. Hollywood Screen Directors present a human tragedy. The motion picture drama, All My Sons, starring Edward G. Robinson in his original role of Joe, with Jeff Chandler as Chris. This is the tragedy of a man who sought to fashion his family into a universe, but lived to see the universe become his family.
Well, what do you think, Joe? The transmission will never hold. I'll work it over in the morning.
You're the boss. If you want to know, ask Joe.
Yeah, that's what they say. If you want to know, ask Joe. Well, it's quitting time. You better run along. I'll worry about it. That's the boss's job in this machine shop.
Okay.
Thanks. Good night.
Good night.
Dad? Dad, are you here?
Yeah, here I am, Chris.
Hey, can't you tear yourself away from this place?
This is not a place, Chris. It's me. This isn't the Keller Machine Works. It's your old man. Every machine, every blueprint, every nail, I made it. For the family. For you, Chris.
Dad, can we go back to the office? I want to talk to you.
Sure, sure. Hey, you're all dressed up, Chris. For Annie, huh?
That's right, for Annie. I've got a few minutes before I meet her at the station.
Well, it's a good thing you're coming back like this. Shows there's no grudge between our families. Sit down. Sit down, Chris. Now, what's the problem?
Dad, I'm going to ask Ann Deaver to marry me.
No. No, you can't do that, Chris.
We're in love, Dad.
Well, Annie is Larry's girl. She's engaged to your brother.
Larry's dead. He crashed in the war.
Well, there's no proof, no body, no grave.
It's been years. He can't still be alive.
Well, your mother will never believe that.
No, mother's built Larry's memory into a shrine.
Now, look here, Chris. Look, you've hardly seen Ann since she moved away, since you went to war.
I saw her in Chicago last year.
Yes, but after what's happened, the trial and her father being...
I was brought up next door to her. I know her best. When I think of someone for my wife, I think of Ann.
Well, Chris, you'll be pronouncing your brother dead.
Dad, if you and Mother won't let us be happy here, if we're shadowed over with Larry's memory, with the memory of the trial and her father's guilt, then I'll have to get out.
Are you crazy? You've got a business here, the factory.
It's a business. I'm talking about living.
Yes, but this is all I know about living, the business and the family. That's all, Chris.
Well, then help me to stay here.
Well, all right, but don't think like that. It's only for you, the whole shooting match. It's for you, Chris. Hand me a towel, Kate.
Yes. Why did you build a house with two bathrooms if you must wash your hands in my kitchen sink?
I wonder how Ann Deaver feels about us, Kate.
Her father hates us. I don't know about her. All I know is that it isn't right, her and Chris. She's Larry's girl.
Kate.
Larry isn't dead, Joe. He can't be dead.
Well, perhaps he is, Kate. Maybe he is.
And Herb Deaver in prison, Annie's father. They all say it's because he was your partner.
Well, they know I was acquitted. They know I was homesick the day Herb shipped those faulty cylinders to the army.
21 planes crashed in Australia, Joe. 21.
Well, all right, it's forgotten now. Why do you have to talk about it?
Well, Ann is his daughter, Joe. There might be trouble.
Well, there won't be any trouble. Now, you be nice to her. Now, that's all. Be nice to her, Kate, will you?
Mom, Dad, we're home.
Well, I'll be nice to Larry's girl. In here, Chris.
Say, Annie.
No.
Okay. It's enough hugging.
I'm so glad you could come.
We certainly are.
Wonderful. It's so wonderful to be here again.
Wonderful to have you here.
Come. I'll show you to your room.
Don't take forever. I want it back.
Oh, my Chris, he's so happy you're here. He feels just like a brother to you. And in a way, I suppose he is.
Brother? Well, I hadn't thought of it.
And how is your brother, Anne? Is George a lawyer now?
Oh, yes. With an office in Chicago and no clients.
This is your room, Anne. It's Larry's room.
But, Kate, it's just the same. His clothes, his books.
Yes, dear, for when he gets back.
But Larry is dead.
Sometimes it's better to let things stay the way they are, Annie, and not disturb them. Not disturb them.
How is it being home again, huh? Sitting on the front steps after a good dinner?
Joe, have they stopped talking yet about my father?
Oh, gone and forgotten. Things are just the way they used to be at the plant.
Dad, it's different with you. You were exonerated. Annie's father is still in prison. She might as well be prepared. People will talk.
Well, let them talk. Would it bother me? Before the trial, they called me a murderer, and some even afterwards. There's nothing on my conscience, and I got a court order to prove it.
You don't have to prove it, Dad.
But my father is a murderer.
Oh, no. Herb is a fool, but don't make a killer out of him.
He sent out a shipment of defective cylinders, 21. There's no word bad enough for a crime like that.
Chris, let's forget it.
Now, both of you, listen to me. Now, sure, Herb is in jail, but just try to see it human. Just see it human. All of a sudden, a batch of cylinders comes out bad. A mistake. But it ain't murder.
But he shipped them to guys who wore the same uniform that Larry and I did. That his own son George did.
Well, so my partner shipped them. He thought they'd hold up. The army screaming for deliveries, me homesick. I couldn't stop him lying on my back with a flu. I don't say he was right, but it wasn't murder. That's the way I feel, and you can tell him that, Annie, when you write to him.
I don't write to him.
What? Anne, he's your father.
Neither does George.
But why?
Because 21 pilots died. Because Larry died.
But that had nothing to do with Larry. Besides, we don't know for sure
that... Dad, Ann's tired.
Yeah. Yeah, sure. I'm sorry. I'm just a crazy old man, that's me. I'll leave you two kids alone. That's what you want anyway. Good night.
Good night, Joe.
Night, Dad.
Oh, Chris. I'm sorry I've come.
No, you mustn't say that.
I know your mother doesn't want me here. She's afraid of me.
Afraid of you? Why?
Afraid I'm going to break up the safe little world she's built around you and Joe and Larry.
Come into that world, Annie.
Oh, Chris.
Annie, I love you. I want you to marry me.
If you want me, Chris. If you want me.
Oh, Ann, it's your brother George. Long distance from Springfield.
Springfield? The prison.
Yeah, I thought you said George and your father weren't in touch.
Well, I don't understand.
Well, there's a phone.
Hello? George? Yes? What are you so excited about? No, I don't want you to come here. No, George, you have. But please, I can't leave George. Chris has asked me to marry him. George!
What is it, Anne?
He went to see Father. He found out something new about the trial.
No?
He's coming tomorrow. He says he's coming to take me away from here. Chris.
Here on the porch, Anne.
Chris, I might as well warn you. George isn't friendly. He'll talk, wild talk.
My father's innocent, Anne.
It's George. He's here.
Yeah, he's here. Hello, George.
George.
You're not going to marry him, Ann.
Why not?
Because his father destroyed your family.
Now, look here, George.
Got it, Chris.
Ann, I've been thinking. We turned our backs on our father. We did a terrible thing. But now I've talked to him again. And it wasn't all Dad's fault.
George.
Joe knew about those cylinders. He knew.
That's a lie. My father was home, sick.
Joe gave himself an alibi, that's all.
Our father told you that?
From his own mouth, and it's different than reading it in the court record, Ann. You have to believe him.
Georgie! Georgie! Oh.
Hello, Kate.
It's been so long. Let me look at you. Oh, Georgie. But you look so old.
You look fine, Kate.
And I still cook fine, too. Wait till you see the dinner
no,
I've made.
No, I'm not staying,
well,
Kate.
Of course you're staying. Oh, I know you, Georgie. Trying to make us believe you hate us. But you can't, Georgie. Not in your heart.
I don't know.
Please stay, George. Nobody can resist Kate.
Well, all right. I am kind of hungry.
Oh, George, I'm glad.
Come, we'll go in. Joe will be home any minute now. Then we'll eat.
Come on, George, eat. Come on, eat.
I can't, Joe. Not another bite.
All right, Joe. He's always hungry.
Sure, I'm a hard-working man. Have too much to do with the plant.
The plant's going very well, George.
Well, what does he care about factories? He's a lawyer. I'll tell you what, George. You come back here to live, and I'll talk to Judge Collins. Have him take you in.
Then I'll find you a girl, and we'll make you laugh again.
I really came here trying to hate you. But I can't. You're all so wonderful. Just like I remembered you. And you all look so fine and well.
Oh, Dad's still strong as an ox.
Well, sure. Too busy to find time to be sick.
Oh, Joe hasn't been to a doctor as long as I can remember.
Pass the potatoes, Kate. You know, I've never been sick a day in my whole life.
Is that a fact, Joe?
Oh, sure.
Except for that time that...
Oh, yes. Except for that time that I had the flu.
Never sick a day, you said. Not a day.
George.
But you forget the day your partner shipped defective airplane parts to the Army.
Now, that's enough out of you. Ask the court what happened that day if you're so curious. Ask the jury.
And you almost had me fooled with your talk. Your fine family talk. Come on, Ann. Let's get out of here.
Chris.
Well, Ann?
I'm going with him, Chris. Your mother's right. It's better sometimes to let things stay the way they are. And not disturb them.
Dad. What are you staring at me like that for? Never sick a day in your life. You said...
Well, I forgot about
it. If it ever turned out that you were lying, I'd kill you.
What kind of a thing is that to say?
What kind of...
I'd kill you.
Well, listen, I don't have to defend myself to you or anybody. Do you understand? Not to you or nobody. I'm clear, see? The jury says so. Nothing can touch me. Nothing.
You are listening to the Screen Directors Playhouse presentation of All My Son, starring Edward G. Robinson as Joe with Jeff Chandler as Chris.
Hello, Chris.
You can have 5 minutes with the prisoner.
Thanks. I had to see you. It's about Ann and me.
I know. George told me.
He convinced her my father's guilty.
What do you want of me?
The truth, Mr. Devon. Free us. Let us be happy. I want you to tell me he's not guilty.
If you want the truth, I'll tell it to you.
That's all I want. The truth.
Now, we were in the midst of all that war business, Chris. It was the day before the cylinders were shipped.
All right, Herb. So, about your son of this came out back. Well, that's all.
We're finished, Joe. Through. We can't ship them. Can't meet the contract. We lose the business.
All right, so we take the rap. Or ship them.
Ship them? How can we, Joe?
Smarten up. Nobody makes a perfect product.
But the cylinders, will they be all right?
Well, they'll have to be, or we're broke.
Broke, Joe.
I got every cent in the world tied up here.
I've got more than money tied up in it. My flesh and blood. My heart, my brain.
40 years of it. 40 years. From a junk shop to this. The main thing now is to survive, Herb. That's it, to survive.
It's a crime to ship those cylinders.
Well, it's a crime if we get caught. I say ship them out of here. I say they're okay. Ship them. To survive, Herb. To survive.
Go on, Mr. Deaver.
And the next day, Joe was at home, Chris, sick. I didn't ship the cylinders. And not from any high moral purpose, but because I was frightened. And then the army officers came. I had to phone your father. I had to talk to him.
Hello?
Joe, it's Herb.
Yeah?
They want the cylinders now. I'm scared, Joe. I can't take the responsibility. Can't you come in?
Well, I'm sick, you know that. And who says you have to take the responsibility? I'll take it. Full responsibility.
I don't know, Joe. I don't know.
Full responsibility. So ship them. Ship them, I said.
You said all that in court, Mr. Deaver. They didn't believe you.
You can take responsibility on the telephone. In court, you can always deny it.
Oh, I don't believe it.
Your father is guilty, Chris. We both are. That's why you must take Annie and go away. Forget us.
No. No, he's my father. I know him. He couldn't do that. You've brooded over this until you believe it yourself.
Chris, do the men at the plant still say, if you want to know, ask Joe?
Yes, Kate. Can I come in?
If you wish. You have nothing to say to me, Annie. You're not welcome here.
Kate, listen to me, please. I've thought it all over, and I'm sure now it isn't better to leave things the way they are, Kate. Sometimes they've got to be disturbed.
What do you want of us? Why do you come back into our lives?
I want to marry Chris.
That's impossible. Not while Larry is still alive.
We love each other. And Larry isn't coming back, Kate. He crashed off the coast of China on February 9th, 1944.
There's no proof. You say that, but not even the army has proof.
I have proof, Kate.
No.
A letter from Larry to me. Written the day he died.
A letter from Larry?
Read it, Kate.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. Now you know. I wanted to keep it from you.
Annie, Joe mustn't see this letter. Ever. Ever.
You're back.
I'm back, Dad.
What's the matter with you?
Dad, is it really true what they say? If you want to know, ask Joe.
Oh, sure it's true. I know every nail in the joint.
Then I want you to tell me something.
Well, sure, anything.
Those cylinders. How did they get shipped out without your knowing about it?
Oh, so you're on that, too. Why don't you go ahead and say I'm guilty? Say I did it. Go ahead.
I don't want you to be guilty. I want you to be innocent. I saw Herb Deaver, Dad.
So you listened to his lies. My own son.
Dad, you owe it to me to explain what happened. I've got a right to know.
Oh, I'm tired of explaining. I don't have to explain. Not to you, do you hear? You're my son. You're in it with me. You eat my food, wear my clothes, live in my home. I don't have to explain to you.
Dad.
All right. If I'm guilty, you're guilty, too. Understand? You're guilty, too.
You knew. You knew all the time.
Well, I'm in business. I had to keep the shop open. Now, what could I do? Wash 40 years down the drain? Let him take my life away because I made a mistake in the cylinders? They had to be shipped.
Why? Why did they have to be shipped?
Well, Chris, Chris, I did it for you, to give you something.
For me? Me? What kind of man are you?
Chris.
Don't you have a heart?
I had to hold on to the business.
Don't you live in the world?
For the family, Chris.
Don't you think about people?
For the family.
I hate you.
Chris, it was for you.
I hate you.
Chris.
I hate you.
Chris.
I hate you.
Chris.
Joe, maybe you should go upstairs and lie down.
I thought I had a family. What happened to my family, Kate?
Joe, I've been thinking. If Chris comes back...
Oh, he'll come back. He'll come back, all right.
Then, Joe, if you sit down with him, explain yourself.
My son? To my own son?
You ought to make it clear to him that you know what a terrible thing you've done. Then maybe...
Maybe he'll forgive me. Well, what have I done to be forgiven for? Provided for my family? Made money? Forgive me, huh? I could live on a quarter a day myself, but I've got a family, so I did what I could.
There's something bigger than the family, Joe.
No, I'm his father, and he's my son. Nothing is bigger than that, understand?
Joe, Chris, he's come home.
Hello, Mom. I want to talk to you, Dad.
Well, that's fine, because I want to talk to you.
I've just been with Annie. She's outside now. She gave me something.
Annie? For Annie, you turn your back on your father.
If he's a murderer.
So what do you want me to do? Tell me, Chris, I'll do it. Throw away my money? All right, you take it. Throw it down the sewer. I'm an old man, a dead man. Nothing is mine. Well, what do you want?
It's not what I want.
Well, shall I go to the police? Tell them to put me in jail? Will that make you happy? Will that do it? Well, come on, talk. Tell me.
No, that's not enough. That wouldn't make you suffer enough. Because you still don't understand what you've done.
Yeah, I know what I've done. And I'm sorry. I'm sorry because my son isn't worth it.
Annie gave me this letter.
Chris, don't do it.
It was written by Larry, his last letter. Go on, read it. Read it and then tell yourself what you must do.
Oh, no.
Letter from Larry?
Read it, Dad. Read it. It was written during the trial.
Oh, Chris, no.
My dear Ann, it's impossible to put down the things I feel, but I've got to tell you something. The papers have told us all about the plant, about our fathers. I'm ashamed because now I'm alone. Because our fathers have betrayed us all. I can't face the other men. I don't know how to tell you, Annie, but somehow I must atone for what my father has done. Today I'm going out on a mission and I shall see to it that I don't come back. I want you to forgive me, Annie, but it's the only way I know how to pay for his crime.
Dad, do you understand what this letter means?
Yeah. Yeah, I understand.
I had to show it to you. You know?
Oh, sure, kid, I know.
It's with you now. I'm leaving with Annie.
Oh, Chris, my Chris.
I'm sorry, you don't know how sorry.
Goodbye, Chris.
Goodbye.
Now, Larry was our son, Kate. Our son.
You paid for it. Larry paid for it. What more can you do?
No. No, it's no use, Kate. Sure, he was my son. But I think to him... they were all my sons. I guess they were. All my sons. I think I'll go upstairs.
Chris, we'd better go.
In a minute, Anne. I want to look once more at the house. The house my father built.
You still love him, don't you?
He's my father. Come on, Ann. Your father said to take you away to forget the past.
We will, Chris.
No. I'll always remember. Dad. The hurt in his eyes because the universe poked its fingers through his picket fence. What he learned, we'll all have to learn. All of us. Everybody.
What was that, Chris?
A shot.
Or a backfire?
No, a shot. It was the sound of the universe.
Oh, Chris. Do you think...
He was my father, Ann. He was my father.
We better go back.
No, we can't go back. Not now or ever. Walk, Ann. Just walk. And pray. Pray.
Now, here again are Edward G. Robinson and Jeff Chandler.
Okay, Jeff, the hard part is over. Relax.
I feel as if I just stepped out of an emotional straitjacket. What do we do now, Eddie?
I'll bring on the director. Ladies and gentlemen, we'd like you to meet the man who brought All My Sons to the screen. The director of such splendid films as The Bachelor and the Bobby Soxer and Enchantment, Irving Reese.
Thanks, Eddie. Hello, Jeff.
Oh, what's the matter? You're a little tense, Irving.
Oh, it's just my reaction to your fine performance, Eddie, and the microphone.
And what do you have to be nervous about? Microphones. You know, Jeff, Irving Reese is one of the real pioneers of radio.
Oh, what field, Mr. Reese? Writer, producer, engineer?
Well, as you can see, practically everything but acting.
Oh, well, I wouldn't say that. You know, Irving wrote for me when I used to do the Big Town Show.
And oh?
What a tough boss I was, huh? Irving?
That's right. Scared me right into motion pictures. Jeff, as a rising young screen star, what do you think about radio?
Well, me, I think I've been around microphones ever since I left school.
Well, what do you know? Three old radio hands.
Yeah. Well, what are we all so nervous about?
Television. Good night, Jeff. Irving.
Good night.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.
The Screen Director's Playhouse on Tuned to Yesterday from December 2nd, 1949 on NBC. The motion picture that story was based on, All My Sons, was released a year earlier and featured radio star Howard Duff in the role of George Deaver. Normally on radio, he was known as Sam Spade. But before all of that, this was first a Broadway play, penned by Arthur Miller, running for 328 performances, even winning the 1947 Tony Award for Best Play. You're listening to an hour of old-time radio drama on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Now time for The Marriage with Jessica Tandy and Hume Cronin dealing with their daughter's sorority in this NBC episode from November 29th, 1953.
Jessica Tandy and Hume Cronin in The Marriage. The sponsors of this program offer no endorsement of the opinions, philosophies, stubbornness, or confusion of the persons represented therein. However, with the conviction that marriage remains the most popular domestic arrangement between friendly people, NBC takes pleasure in presenting by transcription one of the most distinguished couples in the American theater, Jessica Tandy and Hume Cronin, as Liz and Ben Marriott in the new dramatic series, The Marriage. Making a moral decision is something like riding a bicycle. You may not do it for years, but once you learn, you never forget. Of course, when you first start, you'll wobble from side to side, probably fall a few times, and it's often pretty painful. Somebody else can hold the bicycle and run along beside you, but you've got to learn how to balance for yourself. This thought just didn't come to me. I've been working it out for weeks. When I get it polished, I'll spring it on Liz as extemporaneous wit. And I won't fool her a bit. The reason it came up was Emily. It started a few weeks ago after dinner.
Emily, aren't you going to start your homework?
I have to finish this first, Mom.
What are you doing, dear?
I'm knitting.
Knitting what?
Argyle socks.
Oh, that's nice.
I made a little mistake. I turned the heel twice.
You did? Let me see them. Emily, won't these be a little big for you?
Oh, well, they're not for me. They're for a boy.
What boy?
I don't know.
Any boy but two heels on each foot.
Could you straighten them out, Mommy? I've got to finish them by tomorrow morning.
Oh, this'll take hours, Emily.
I know, but I've just got to finish. Or I get scragged.
Scragged?
Well, you know, the scragged.
Sounds painful.
It is. They use ping pong paddles.
Well, naturally. What else would you use for scragging?
Emily, you got the yarn tied in knots. Mm-hmm.
What is this, Emily? Who are the socks for?
Margie Pastor's boyfriend.
Well, then, why doesn't Margie Pastor knit them?
Because I'm her varlet.
Oh. Oh. Emily, what is a varlet?
Well, we all are. Ellie Meyer and James.
Shouldn't these red lines be crossing at right angles, dear? Give me the instructions.
Here, Mom. Sally, it's worse than geometry.
Emily, what does a varlet do?
Well, everything. Shine shoes, do homework, give home permanence, sew hems.
Let me put it this way. Why?
Oh, if you don't, you get scragged.
With ping pong paddles?
That's right.
Emily, is there some higher goal to this, or is it just mortification of the flesh?
Oh, no. It's Omega Chi.
Omega Chi?
A sorority.
I thought they were illegal in high school.
Well, they are. Otherwise, it wouldn't be so much fun.
You've joined?
Oh, no, I'm pledged. You have to be a varlet for 2 weeks before you're initiated.
Why do you want to be in this sorority, dear?
Oh, well, only the most important girls are asked, and Ellie is, and she's my best friend, and they give a leap year dance at a big hotel, and you ask a boy, and if you're not a member, you can't go, and somebody else can ask the boy.
Uh-huh.
You see?
I think so. Is there some member who has designs on your choice?
Yes, Margie. Uh-huh. That's why I've got to be so careful. If I don't do everything just right, she'll thumb me down.
What do they use for that, baseball bats?
Oh, no, that means you're thrown out. How are the socks coming, Mom?
I think I turned the heel again.
If I don't finish the socks, how am I ever going to start on the skirt?
What skirt?
Margie's skirt. I've got to hem it, and it's circular. 4 yards around.
Now, wait a minute, Emily. You've got French, math, and biology homework. You've got to do that.
But I'll be scragged.
There are some things which are more important. Now, you go and do your homework right now. Staying up all night, sewing somebody else's skirt is ridiculous. What time is it, Liz?
1:45. How are you coming?
Halfway around the skirt. Ow.
Why don't you use a thimble?
Gets in the way. How are the socks?
Sort of like Argyle feed bags. When I'm through, I'll wash them in hot water and dry them in the oven. That'll get them down to size.
I never saw a skirt this big. Margie will look like the center pole in a circus tent.
Emily, finish your homework?
At midnight. Do you realize that the kid would have had to stay up all night?
I suppose we should have let her.
Maybe. I just don't like the idea of her being paddled. Matter of fact, I don't like the whole idea of Omega Chi.
Neither do I.
Liz, I've got about 4 inches left over here. What do I do?
Oh, sneak it in little tucks. You know, Ben, I think the sorority violates the school regulations.
Not to mention the 13th Amendment to the Constitution. If this isn't involuntary servitude, I don't know what is. My left thumb is a bloody mess.
Well, here are the socks finished.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Ben, I hope Emily doesn't know any boy these might fit.
Pledge week for Omega Chi ran on and on. Emily seemed to spend most of her time running errands and collecting unusual items. Once I found her making 12 copies of her algebra homework, so I confiscated them. A few days later, a boy, Bobby Logan, called up and left a message with me that he was coming over to talk to her. Emily paled.
Daddy, that's awful. Tell him I'm not home.
I thought you liked him.
Well, I do, but I can't talk to him.
This isn't more Omega Chi.
It's the vow.
The vow?
We're not allowed to talk to any boys in Pledge Week. You can't even tell them why. Daddy, there he is.
This ought to be an interesting interview.
What will I do?
You could draw pictures or act out charades. You know, first word, second syllable.
Oh, Daddy, answer the door.
Maybe you could play double solitaire. Hey, Bobby.
Huh?
Where are you going? Over here.
Oh, hello, Mr. Marriott. I thought nobody was home.
You're almost right. Come on in.
I came to see Emily.
That's what you said on the phone.
Oh, I did, didn't I?
Come on in. Sit down.
Oh, thank you. I'd like to.
Tired?
No, blisters.
Too much basketball?
No, somebody gave me some hand-knit Argyle socks.
Don't they fit?
Oh, they fit.
Well, that's good.
They're a little lumpy.
Emily, here's Bobby.
Oh, hello, Emily.
Well, kids, I got some work in the other room.
Daddy, you've got to stay. It's a vow.
Well, is it all right with you, Bobby?
Oh, yes. Emily, would you mind if I took off my shoes?
Daddy, tell him of course not.
Of course not.
And my socks.
It's all right, Bobby. Go ahead. Undress. Lumpy Argyle.
Oh,
ooh.
Thank you.
Well, that could happen to any of us.
Emily, are you mad at me or something? You wouldn't even talk to me in the hallway where we used to... Mr. Marriott, if you've got work to do, I could come back later.
Oh, no. I'm afraid I'm indispensable.
Oh.
Daddy, don't you think a person ought to wait before making a big decision? I mean, before accepting an important invitation?
Play it on the first bounce, Bobby. Doesn't mean a thing to me.
Well, she was talking to you.
Only pro forma.
Oh. Oh, I don't take Latin.
I mean, Daddy, just because someone might have a very good reason for not talking to someone, well, that someone shouldn't necessarily think the other person doesn't want to talk to them.
Bobby, would you like me to take notes and prepare you a rough draft?
Well, maybe you'd better, Mr. Marriott. Emily, I just came over to say, look, I don't want to keep your father from his work. Maybe I'd better take my shoes and go.
Now, look, this is ridiculous. Emily, for heaven's sakes, talk to the boy.
Daddy, I just can't.
Well, goodbye, Mr. Marriott. It was a pleasure talking to someone.
Goodbye, Bobby.
Goodbye, Emily. I hope you're not mad at me.
Oh, Bobby.
Yes?
Here. You left a sock. Evidently, the nadir of Pledge Week was a pajama party at which the final separation of sheep from goats occurred. To our horror, Emily informed us that we were to be honored by the choice of our house for that occasion. Liz and I sat exiled in the kitchen as the members of the inner circle of Omega Chi arrived with overnight bags.
There's another one.
Open the door a crack. This one has ping pong paddles.
The children won't actually hurt each other, will they?
I hope not. I don't want the neighbors to hear screams.
Oh, I'll just explain to them that you were at the vanilla extract again.
Thank you, dear.
Hello, Mrs. Marriott. Mr. Marriott.
Hi.
Hello, Ellie. Oh, what lovely pajamas.
You think it's all right that I didn't put on a robe? The flannel.
Well, you look fine, dear.
Emily said there was root beer in the icebox.
I get it, dear. How many are there?
Only 12. The violets aren't allowed to have any.
Well, if you want one, Ellie, you come out here and I'll fix you up.
Oh, thanks, Mrs. Marriott.
Can you manage the tray?
Yeah, I've got it. Thank you.
The one comfort I have is that other people's daughters are just as idiotic.
Excuse me, Mommy. I've got to get the stuff.
Of course, dear.
What have you got there?
Oh, spaghetti, teal grapes, lamb fat, and a piece of raw liver.
Aren't those rather bizarre refreshments, dear?
No, they're not refreshments. That's part of the ceremony.
Huh?
Oh, don't worry, Mommy. Everything's all right.
Raw liver.
I imagine it's the feeling. Guess that's the idea.
What do you suppose that was? The cold spaghetti or peeled grapes? Through the evening, strange sounds drifted from Emily's bedroom across the insulating space of the living room to our retreat in the kitchen. There were cold spaghetti squeals, peeled grape squawks, and one strangling gasp, which we identified somehow or other with the cold lamb fat. About 10:30, there had been quiet for some time. I had my work spread out on the kitchen table, and Liz was sewing buttons.
Ben, do you hear something?
No. They must have exhausted the possibilities.
They're not in Emily's room, in the living room.
Huh?
Well, it sounds to me like... I'd better look.
Where are you going?
Ellie? Ellie, what's the matter?
Hello, Mrs. Mary.
Well, what's the matter, dear?
Nothing.
You're all dressed.
I'm going home.
But aren't you staying over with the rest of the girls?
No. No, I'm not. Good night, Mrs. Marriott. Mr. Marriott.
No, just a minute, dear. Something's wrong, isn't it?
I was coming down.
She was what?
You mean you're not joining Omega Chi?
I was coming down. I went through it all. I did everything they said, really.
Who told you this?
Margie. But it wasn't her especially. They took his secret ballot.
Liz, I'm going to get Emily out here and ask her...
Ben, wait. Why did you get your thumb down, Ellie?
My clothes are never right. My hair always looks so... Well, you know.
They told you that?
No. They're very considerate. But I know. I shouldn't have tried to get in. I should have known I couldn't be like them. Mrs. Marriott.
Oh, Ellie, there now, darling.
Oh, what will I tell my mother? She bought me a new dress for the Amiga dance. I begged her and begged her, and now...
Well, you can use the dress, dear.
Mom was going to buy a winter coat. And the dress is altered, so we can't return it. Oh, I could die. I could just die.
Ellen. What did Emily do while all this was going on?
She was very sorry. I could tell she was crying.
She's still in there?
She's lucky, isn't she?
Oh, I don't know. Liz, I'm going to go
Ben,
in there.
Ben.
They've got no right to behave.
Ben, you'll take Ellie home now.
Oh, of course.
Well, that's all right, Mr. Marion. I don't want to trouble you.
It's no trouble, Ellie. Come on, we'll stop and get a hot chocolate. Come on, dear. I suppose it was Liz's idea that I needed a cooling off period before I barged in on the little monsters of Omega Chi. I got back home a little cooler. Liz had Emily out in the kitchen.
Mom, there just wasn't anything I could do. It was a secret ballot of members only.
Listen, Emily. I just took Ellie home. I had a talk with her mother and father. I was trying to explain. I didn't know what to say.
I know, Daddy. Died when they told Ellie.
Well, what did you do?
Nothing.
Did you say anything?
Well, it was all over.
And you were safely chosen. Oh, Emily.
Well, it wouldn't have helped Ellie for me to say anything.
Well, why did they do that?
I don't know. Because she was different.
Emily, I can't understand. Do you want to stay with a group like that?
Daddy, they were awful to Ellie. I know it wasn't fair at all, but what could I do? I wasn't even a full member.
Well, you could have walked out with Ellie.
Daddy, I wanted to. I really did. But then I would have been out too. And there's the dance. Margie would have asked Bobby. She's a senior. She's so much prettier than I am. And I would have been all alone against Emily. Well, it was all done anyway.
I'm sorry.
Oh, Daddy, you don't understand.
Look, now, look, Emily, we won't forbid you to join this. To join it. We've never done things that way.
I know, Daddy.
Up to now, we've been helping you with it, cooperating, but that's over.
Daddy,
your father's right, Emily. We don't believe in this kind of thing. You know that.
Not in our house. After tonight, there will be no more Omega Chi activities here. You understand?
Yes.
All right. If you think you want to go back to your party.
Good night, Daddy.
Good night.
Good night, Emily.
I was disappointed in Emily. She dragged her feet across the living room, and I could hear the bedroom door close behind her. 2 days later, just before dinner, Bobby Logan showed up.
Oh, hello, Mr. Marriott.
Hi. Emily isn't home, Bobby.
Oh, yes, I know.
Oh?
She's at Margie Pastor's house.
Oh. Your blister's better?
Oh, yeah. I washed the socks.
They come out all right?
They didn't shrink at all.
Well, that's good.
The color ran.
It did?
We have Argyle sheets.
Oh, how quaint. Well, Bobby?
Are you working again, Mr. Marriott? I could go away.
No, sit down. I suppose you came for something.
Oh, no. Oh, yes. Yes, I wanted to ask you about Emily. Is she sick?
No, not that I know of.
I wondered. Mr. Marriott, she's been awfully funny for 2 weeks. I know that business of not talking to me was mixed up with that sorority initiation, but that isn't all. Yesterday, somebody told me she started crying in French class.
She did?
They were doing irregular verbs.
Do you think that accounts for it?
Oh, no. Irregular verbs are hard, but not that hard.
What do you think it is?
Well, I don't know. She started to tell me something at school, but one of the girls came around the corner, so she stopped.
Oh. I suppose she has something on her mind.
She never used to. I mean, she didn't seem to think about anything. Oh, I don't mean she didn't think. She was always thinking, but
I...
Well, you know.
I think I know what you mean.
One of the guys was kidding me about it. Joey Fletcher.
Oh?
He's on the soccer team.
Uh-huh.
They wanted me to play soccer, but my head was too soft.
It was?
Well, you know, you have to hit the ball with your head. I got headaches.
Oh, I can understand that.
He said, what kind of a girl cries in French class? Joey Fletcher.
I know, the soccer player. Bobby... I'm afraid Emily has the problem of all youth today.
She's delinquent?
No, not that I know of.
I don't either.
Bobby, it takes a certain amount of courage to stand up alone against a crowd.
Oh.
I'm afraid that women, I include Emily in that category.
Oh, yes.
Well, women, it's no use. I could never think of clever things to say about women.
I heard one. A woman is only a woman. But a good cigar is a smoke.
Oh.
I don't understand it.
You don't?
I don't smoke.
Oh, well, that explains it. Excuse me, Bobby. Hello? Yes, this is Mr. Marriott. Emily? You're where? What? I'll be right there.
Is anything wrong, Mr. Marriott?
I don't know. Emily's at the police station, under custody. They said to bring a blanket.
I'm sorry, Daddy.
Emily, what is this all about?
It was part of the initiation. We had to get arrested.
Now, listen, Emily, this whole thing has gone far enough. I'm...
I know.
What?
I was going to tell you, Daddy. I resigned in the police station.
You did?
I suddenly thought, isn't it silly to be sitting in the basement of a police station in my bathing suit?
Well, it is unusual.
I was thinking about Ellie. I tried to talk to her in school, but I couldn't. I was just so ashamed.
Uh-huh.
I mean, she was always my best friend, really. She's much smarter than I am, and she can draw awfully well. They said her clothes were raggedy. I suppose they were, but that isn't Ellie's fault. They just don't have the money, but that shouldn't make any difference.
No, it shouldn't.
Daddy, those girls are awful. The only fun they get out of being in isn't keeping somebody else out.
I think you're right.
Daddy, I knew I shouldn't stay. Even before Ellie was thumbed down, I kept saying it wouldn't help Ellie for me to get out, but that wasn't true. I guess I really wanted to stay because of the dance and Bobby. He'll go with Margie Pastor.
He's at our house now.
He is? Well, I guess I've got to tell him now. And Daddy, I know what I've got to do. I wish I didn't have to tell Bobby.
Emily got into her robe while I briefed Liz in the bedroom. She went in to face her own valley of decision.
Bobby?
Oh, hello, Emily. Are you in trouble with the police?
No. I guess I better explain about the last few weeks.
Oh, I know. You were pledging Omega Chi.
Uh-huh. Bobby, about the Omega dance, I want to ask you to go,
You did? Margie Pastor asked me last week.
Oh. I'm sure you'll have a very good time with Margie.
Oh, no. No, I'm not going.
Oh, Bobby.
It isn't because of you.
It isn't?
I wouldn't have gone with you either.
Oh.
Emily, it's not that I wouldn't like to go out with you, but... Well, I don't like to think that you... Well, that you do that sort of thing. I mean, I talked to Ellie. I was hoping you'd change your mind. Oh, Emily, I hope you don't mind my saying that.
No.
I mean, well, I didn't think you were that kind of girl.
Bobby, I'm not. I'm not.
You aren't?
I resigned. I thought you'd go with Margie.
Oh, no.
Oh.
She scares me. You don't scare me, Emily.
I don't? Bobby, that's sweet of you.
Are you doing anything Saturday night, 2 weeks from now?
Well, that's the night of the dance.
I wondered, if you're not busy, would you like to go to the movies?
Let us extend an invitation on behalf of our stars, Jessica Tandy and Hume Cronin, as well as the National Broadcasting Company, to all of you to drop by next week at this time for another half-hour observation and transcription of The Marriage, written by Ernest Canoy. Denise Alexander was heard as Emily Marriott, Joan Lazer as Ellie, and William Redfield was heard as Bobby Logan.
The Marriage, on Tuned to Yesterday from the 29th of November, 1953, on NBC. And the curtain comes down on this hour of drama on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levonier. It's been a pleasure.